and gentlemen, it's now time for the Wrestling Is Cool podcast with your hosts, Santi and Sancho. And remember, wrestling is cool.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Wrestling Is Cool Wrestlepalooza predictions.
We are just extravaganza,
a bonanza, wrestling a go-go. Honestly, you can come up with a bunch of these at this point, or as Cody Rhodes would say, Wrestlepalooza. At that, the little lisp at the end.
Drew McIntyre. Do you want to dance? All right, Cody. Just say Wrestlepalooza,
Just get to it, brother. Just get to it. Dude, it's so funny, like, reading Wrestlepalooza. I'm like, that's a fine name. And then hearing a wrestler actually say it, it's like, no, this sucks. I hate the name of this show. But here we are, man. And it's looking like ESPN wants to make this into a yearly affair, something that might be a big four PLE moving forward. I don't know. Right now, on paper, this five-match card, I wish there were more matches, looks pretty stacked. And when I look at this card and I'm like, okay, what else could have been added to it? I look back on what we've already had. A Sami Zayn versus Rey Fénix Open Challenge match would have banged on here, right? Tiffy versus Jade was really solid on SmackDown as somebody paying 5,000 clams in the balloons to get like fifth row at Wrestlepalooza. It would have been nice to get that match there. My first question to you, Sancho, is we were recording this on the Wednesday, go home. Friday night SmackDown, do they add another match like they did on the go home to Clash in Paris? And if they do, what could it be?
Give me a Wyatt Six match. After their appearance at Worlds Collide, we got to have some Wyatt Six at Wrestlepalooza, unless they want to be more sports-oriented type of vibes. You know what I mean?
That's a fair point.
Like, is it too freaky for them right away out the gate? Like, hey, everybody, we're wrestling fans, and here's the Wyatt Six. Might be a little bit too much for the ESPN people.
Yeah, I'm thinking you could probably last-minute run Damian Priest and Aleister Black. That story has already...
WEPA
has been baked enough that it's like, okay, it's ready to come out of the oven and you can do like a street fight last minute. And I think most people would be down for that. The other
what
one
about
that
is,
what can you do with the Miz there though? Like that's
tag team with the Wyatts.
It could be like Melo Do Miz versus the Wyatts. Cause he's chasing a tag team match, but that goes to with the Wyatts maybe being a little bit too spooky wooky for this. The other one could be, maybe they do a last minute triple threat women's match of Jade Cargill, Tiffy and Nia Jax. But
that's a good one.
If you are wanting me to buy that this show is on par to WrestleMania, let's maybe juice up this match card a little bit more.
Brother, it's Rhea Ripley and Nikki Bella.
Of course, it has to be. There it is.
Right?
Boom, book it.
I thought Rhea Ripley would be involved in Wrestlepalooza at some point. I think that's the missing piece.
Yeah.
I know you've grown with Nikki Bella, but when that's the only thing that they have baked in this story.
Well, would it be versus the Kabuki Warriors?
Yeah. See, that's the kind of reaction I have as well, because it's underbaked, right?
Yeah.
It's not fleshed out, but it's a problem when Rhea Ripley's not on your flagship debut on ESPN, in my opinion. She was on Netflix.
Debut. And Randy Orton. I'm shocked that ESPN wouldn't try and move mountains to make sure that WWE includes one of their most legacy stars, one of their most sports believable stars when you look at Randy Orton, right? He's there, available, healthy, and his brand of the Randy Orton, the Viper, is worldwide. You think you would want him on the show, which is very possible he still might make an appearance there with Drew McIntyre versus Cody Rhodes, but I don't think that they're going to add another match. I think that this is what they're going to rock with. I think they're going to rock with a five-match card, sadly.
Is Pat McAfee calling it? Probably, right? It's in his hometown. It's in Indianapolis, or his adopted hometown.
I think, isn't that confirmed that it will be Pat McAfee?
I think so.
I think it is Michael Cole.
Yeah. Because Michael Cole's been missing for a while.
Yeah, dude, Michael Cole misses one episode in like 17 years, and everybody is like, is he okay? All right, let's jump into things on a match-by-match basis. Sancho, let's start off by talking about the match for the vacant Women's World Championship between Io Sky and Stephanie Vaquer. I want to pass this off to you because I do have some thoughts, but I'd like to hear yours first.
My biggest red flag about this entire thing is Io Sky. I feel that Io Sky's red flag is what the WWE did after her winning the championship. If they weren't creative enough to give us any kind of matches or any kind of promos or backstage segments to let us kind of understand what a Io Sky reign could look like, despite understanding where Bianca Belair was injured, and that was probably a feud going forward from that WrestleMania, I don't see anything beyond Io Sky feuding with Asuka or Rhea Ripley. I think it's a Stephanie Vaquer win. I think there's more to that. I do predict Stephanie Vaquer could be in a position to feud with a Roxy and Raquel Rodriguez. Considering Raquel Rodriguez is finding her own and kind of definitely most improved wrestler of the year, and I would love that to be the triangle, Roxy, Raquel, Stephanie, because then it could lead to a Liv Morgan later down the road. Like, all those kind of interactions could happen. So here I see them putting the belt on Stephanie Vaquer, solidifying a new character, a new dominating force in the WWE. And I'm hoping that once you become champion, the WWE doesn't put her on ice. I think she's going to be a working champion, a fighting champion. Think Seth Rollins when he first debuted with that heavyweight championship belt.
That's definitely the ideal world to feature Stephanie Vaquer on a weekly basis. I will say, WWE has given me no confidence that that will be the case so far over the last couple of weeks. We did get Stephanie Vaquer on the go home, but in the previous 5 weeks, she wasn't really featured at all. And if she was featured, it would be in like a throwaway 3 second segment backstage. So I don't have a lot of confidence in a Stephanie Vaquer championship reign right now, but I also think it's the correct call. And the reason why I think giving Stephanie the win here is the way they should go is because when I look at Io Sky's outlook and the way that her storylines are going, it doesn't require the championship. The championship doesn't change the dynamic of her storyline and her relationship with Asuka, because her toxic relationship with Asuka is not about championships. It's not about glory. It's not about who has the better resume. It's just that Asuka is jealous that other people want to be friends with Io Sky. You don't need a world championship
You sound like how like surface level that is.
But that's how it is. That's the story. It doesn't require the title to further that narrative along. Meanwhile, if you were to give the title to Stephanie Vaquer, you have a blank slate. You can do whatever you want. And that to me is a really enticing thing, that you can just say, hey, this PLE, we're going to experiment with Stephanie Vaquer versus Roxy. We're going to experiment with Stephanie Vaquer feuding against American Maid. Why not? And getting a championship match with Ivy Nile. You can experiment with Stephanie Vaquer, and basically the entirety of the women's roster becomes the playroom for Stephanie Vaquer, different action figures that you can put together against her. If you give the title to Io Sky, you don't actually have that expanded universe. You're kind of just stuck to what they're already doing, Kabuki Warriors, right? So I'm going to go with Stephanie Vaquer, and they already kind of hinted as to what Stephanie's first major defense could be, which would be Rhea Ripley at in the Perth show, Crown Jewel. So, and that's a brand new match, new juicy action figures going up against each other that we haven't seen before. So I think the correct call is Stephanie Vaquer. My mind is telling me this is 50-50, that WWE could go with Io Sky, but I'm going to pick Stephanie Vaquer here.
We got to go rewind back as well. This is supposed to be a Naomi-Stephanie Vaquer match that was happened at Clash, but Naomi relinquished the title. So I wonder if that's what I mean. Like, because the WWE probably led the road for Naomi, we could just now experiment, like you mentioned, with the Stephanie Vaquer. And I like the idea. I'm on the same page with you that there's not much to do with the EO strat, like EO verse right now.
Yeah. All right, so we're in agreement there. Stephanie Vaquer to win the vacant Women's World Championship. Moving on to the tag team match of the reuniting Usos, Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso taking on The Vision, Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker, in just a different variation of the past 7 Raw main events now happening on a PLE stage. I'll take this one since you took the first one. I'm going to go with The Vision. I'm going to go with The Vision here. And here's the thing. This logic has freaking bit me in the ass the last like 3 PLEs. And I'm going to say it again. The Vision needs a PLE win from a guy not named Seth Rollins now. The only one from The Vision that continues to stand tall at PLEs has been Seth Rollins. And that's worked because, hey, Vision loses to start the night. Vision stands tall at the end of the night with Seth Rollins. It's a formula that worked at SummerSlam and at Clash in Paris. However, right now, there's a divide right now between Seth Rollins and the fellas from The Vision. If Seth Rollins were to win his mixed tag match and the fellas from The Vision, Bronson and Braun, were to lose, it won't feel the same. It doesn't feel like it's the same, like, low to high that you got at SummerSlam at Clash in Paris that still kind of salvages The Vision. I think The Vision losing here really hurts them. Now, people might be saying, hey, this is the Usos reuniting, yada, yada, yada. Fair enough, but there is an external player here that could impact the result of this match named LA Knight. And I do believe that LA Knight is going to be part of the result in some capacity, or miscommunication from the Usos, as we are already seeing on Monday Night Raw, that they are not on the same page. So I'm going to take The Vision here, even though this is like the third time that I've taken Bronson and Braun, or just Bronson, to win in a PLE with using the exact same logic that I'm using here, and they've lost every time. But if you fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, well, you can't get fooled again. What about fool
can't
me thrice?
Can't get fooled again. I feel like the WWE has gone in this weird place of not really caring about belts. Hear me out for a second here. Why is this not for a number one contender? Why couldn't this be setting up for more, you know, matches for the Raw tag team titles? Give that some love a little bit. Let this matter beyond just a grudge match, because I feel that the grudge matches are always strange. And the reason why I say that is because it feels like everyone forgets about the past. I know we championed that Triple H is booking the wrestlers remember the past, a la LA Knight remembering all the things Jimmy and Jay did to him. But at the same time, it's like, this grudge between Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso and The Vision, it doesn't have that depth to it that you would require a match for nothing. Like, there's nothing at stake here. There is revenge and maybe like the use of the word receipt, which was blew my mind to hear that a wrestler said receipt openly with Jey and LA Knight. But that's my only wish, is that the WWE needs to get back into number one contenders for, despite being a major storyline, you got to have gold involved in it somehow, so that that way the stakes are easier to cling on to. Like, if you're not a fan of this story, Santi, if you're not a fan of the Usos, and you're not a fan of The Vision, at least you would care about, oh, at least it'd be the number one contender to go up against the Judgment Day. Anyway, I do see The Vision winning here because there's too much baggage on the Usos side of things, just like Io and Stephanie Redcat. Stephanie Redcat has no baggage. Io has a lot of baggage going into this fight. I'm going to pick The Vision to win here because I had this thought, and I'll leave this quickly and I'll say more for the podcast, is Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed were heading to some great links and great pastures without The Vision, and they got mad throttled, which we mentioned before, but right now, without Paul Heyman, they just feel a diluted version of each other. Like, they just don't feel special anymore when they're not being walked down with Paul Heyman, when they don't have this feeling that they're part of the faction. And when they walked out with Becky and Seth at the opening of Raw, like, okay, this looks like a faction. But then when they're in the ring, they don't have that vibe, like the NWO with numbers type of thing, or a bloodline with numbers. They do feel like too segmented, if I was kind of critique The Vision.
I think
like
we're
one eye open.
Yeah, I think we're hitting it on the head here. I think you and I are on the same page there. And this might also, this is definitely going to spoil my prediction for the other one, but this might be a reverse situation that we've had in PLEs where the Bronze lose and Seth wins. This could be Seth loses and the Bronze win to keep some of that positive momentum for The Vision off the back of a PLE, even if one of their major contributors loses within the actual show. So yeah, all right. So we're both picking the Bronsons there. Moving on, well, I already kind of talked about it. Let's just start with that. CM Punk and AJ Lee versus Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch. Since I kind of spoiled my choice, I'll go first here again. I am picking CM Punk and AJ Lee to win here. I think the correct call is to set up both CM Punk and AJ Lee to be able to justifiably chase after these individual world titles, or Intercontinental Championship in the case of Becky Lynch, but it feels like a world title. That's how good of a reign she's having so far. If AJ Lee were to lose here after 10 years of being away, and I've said this in a previous podcast, it wouldn't be out of the norm for WWE to do that. They've had people come back after long hiatuses and then lose instantly. CM Punk being one of them, getting eliminated in the Royal Rumble where he returned, and Brock Lesnar returning after his time in UFC losing to John Cena. It wouldn't be crazy to have AJ Lee lose here. However, it would be crazy to have AJ Lee lose here and then try and sell to the fans that she's the next contender for the Intercontinental Championship. That, to me, from going from step one to step two, there's a big barrier and it doesn't work. So to remove that barrier, AJ Lee and CM Punk not only need to win, AJ Lee needs to pin Becky Lynch. So that's my prediction. CM Punk, AJ Lee win, Becky Lynch eats the pin, and then we can move on to AJ Lee versus Becky Lynch somewhere down the line, and then we can once again regurgitate CM Punk and put him back into the vortex that is the Raw main event scene with the baby faces getting shuffled over and over again against the Vision, which will inevitably lead to a big War Games match. I can already see that that's where that's going.
Oh, Santi, poor Santi, you have logic behind your prediction, Santi, but you're forgetting Triple H booking, and Triple H booking loves to protect faces by having interferences, by having debuts, by having some person show up to change the outcome. And you, my friend, may have predictions, but I have a spoiler, and that is Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman's been gone for a while. Paul Heyman is still a factor, and I'd be damned if Paul Heyman does not show up at the biggest PLE debut for the new era of ESPN at WrestlePalooza. And what is WrestlePalooza named after? What promotion?
ECW.
There you go. Paul Heyman has an ace up his sleeve, and it's going to be the fourth member of the Vision.
Oh, not again, man. We've been down this road so many times.
Hey, all in, brother. I think Paul Heyman's going to have an ace up his sleeve because he's going to have a plan B, and that's going to be the thing, because I feel that Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch, they can't be killed off here. They're too fun to have together, and I feel like this is an adventure that I don't want to be marvelized, where it's like, ooh, this villain's cool. Dead. No more. No longer part of the fun of the MCU. I want to keep this couple alive. I need them to keep them striving. I need them to win, but they are going to protect AJ Lee and CM Punk by having a new member of the Vision show up, and Paul Heyman's going to be the grandmaster letting it all, brother.
So you don't want Kang the Conqueror doing the job for Ant-Man situation.
No, exactly. Exactly. They wanted to protect Ant-Man. They booked him. They gave him that Sami Zayn plug. He is... The Ant-Man is Sami Zayn of the MCU. It's so true, dude. Ant-Man.
That's funny. That's funny. All right. So you're going Seth and Becky then?
Yes. All right. Because they are a hot couple. Oh, and Sports Illustrated says
that.
Is the best.
It's not us saying it. It's Sports Illustrated saying it. It's Everyone is saying it.
Yeah, everybody's saying it.
Now let's move on to the singles match for the WWE Undisputed Championship between Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre. I specified singles because I thought we were going to lead towards a potential triple threat there with Randy Orton. I guess there is still a possibility that Randy gets added here on Friday Night SmackDown, so I don't want to discount that as a possibility, but I don't think that's going to end up being the case. Sancho, what say you here? Give me your thoughts.
It is time to enter a new era despite guile. Cody Rhodes having a new set of guns. Goes with everything. It is time for Drew McIntyre to start the Undisputed reign right here, right now. He deserves it. He went down to the mid-card with Bing Bong Wepa. It is time for him to rise out of that and claim his spot on the throne. This is his time, man. This is a great way to let ESPN fans know that it's not so predictable, that anything could happen in a PLE, and to have Cody Rhodes fall to Drew McIntyre, maybe because of Randy Orton, because of Randy trying to do his get his revenge on Drew. I liked it. This is it. It is his time. It is his time.
Hey, I'm down for that, but I don't see it. Had this been the second match, had they already ran this at Clash in Paris, had we actually had Cody Rhodes be a champion? Because weirdly enough, this feels like the night after SummerSlam for Cody Rhodes, because he's been gone since SummerSlam, more or less. And I have a hard time envisioning Cody Rhodes losing immediately after winning the WWE Championship, because for all intents and purposes, this would be immediately, even though there's already been a PLE in there, but he wasn't part of the storytelling. He wasn't part of the narrative. I think down the line, Drew McIntyre at like War Games, him winning would actually be better. I want, and this is kind of backwards and upside down, because usually this is booking for the babyface. I kind of want Drew to chase here for a little bit. I want frustrations to eventually build up so much to the point where it becomes satisfying that Drew wins the championship. I want to get Dolph Ziggler here for a little while, where he's so close. He's so close. He doesn't do it. He's not able to until he finally does. This feels because it's their first match, because they've had such few interactions since SummerSlam with one another, that I wouldn't feel that satisfaction from Drew McIntyre here winning. And again, that might be very hopeful, wishful thinking, because that's usually the type of booking that you would do for a babyface, right? But I kind of want it here for Drew McIntyre. I kind of want that satisfying win. And I don't think I get the satisfaction here at WrestlePalooza. So I'm going to say Cody. I'm going to say Cody, but I like what you're saying about Drew McIntyre. I just don't think this is the right show for it.
I'm predicting a shock call here. You know what I mean? A Hail Mary, you know?
A shock call would be on point here. Let's not forget, they're not going head-to-head, but they are going head-to-head in terms of the narrative and the headlines against All Out. And if WWE wants to dominate those airwaves, a new WWE Undisputed Champion is a pretty damn good way to do that. I don't think it happens, though. Let's move on here.
Drew shows up on ESPN afterwards doing those interviews. I beat Cody Rhodes. You look good, dude.
Moving on here to what I think could be the main event. It could be the mixed tag match. It could be this. I don't know. John Cena versus Brock Lesnar, a match that has had very little build. I dare say almost none. It seems like WWE and ESPN are fully just leaning on the fact that it's John Cena and Brock Lesnar, right? You don't really need that much narrative between them. You can make the argument that you want no narrative between them, because Cena would eat Brock Lesnar alive with words. So the way to make Cena look like the underdog here is to get beat up. It isn't on the mic, because on the mic, he would slice and dice Brock Lesnar into tiny little pieces, and it would no longer make him feel like this scary beast that he is. So it actually might be a good idea that this is how they're doing it, keeping them apart from each other when it comes to words and only bringing them together for Brock Lesnar to eat him alive like the SpongeBob Sea Bear. That being said, objectively still a bad story, because there isn't one, but it might just not need one. I'm going to go with John Cena here winning. I'm going to go with John Cena winning here because I think he needs to exorcise the demon that is Brock Lesnar that has haunted him his entire career. And what do you do with Lesnar winning here? Lesnar winning here, the only next step is Lesnar versus Cena again, because it's Cena's retirement tour. He needs to come out on top against Lesnar, whether it's here or losing here and then coming out on top on the back end in a second match. And I don't want to see another Cena versus Brock Lesnar match. However, it's very possible that that's what they do, because Sancho, there is no more John Cena appearances between now and Crown Jewel, a show that he's scheduled to be at. So it would be really easy for Cena to just lose here and then to just run Brock versus Cena again at Crown Jewel, because you could just piggyback off of that. An alternative would be Cena wins here, exercises the demon that is Brock Lesnar, and then bing bong wepa, Chris Jericho comes out or something right at the very end of the show. And then that's how we set up John Cena's next match to Crown Jewel. Whatever happens here, it needs to set up for John Cena's Crown Jewel match, because you have nothing in between to set it up. I am going to say Cena wins here, partly because I don't want to see John Cena versus Brock Lesnar again. I'd rather see something new at Crown Jewel.
Okay, I know we do these predictions to have fun and try to be correct, because it's the thing to do. I'm going to pick Brock Lesnar, because let's just paint another picture and go down that path a little bit, because I think that there's a timeline there that's interesting to explore. if the WWE is already dipped its toe in the Brock Lesnar pool, there's no going back. So why don't you just lean in all the way, right? So if Brock Lesnar beats Cena and we have some time with Brock with no John Cena and John Cena's on ice for a bit, you could have Brock Lesnar go after Cody Rhodes. And now I know you groan because that Cody and Brock moment they had, they shook hands and it was a weird and that was the last Vince McMahon booking. Remember the Raw after Mania? You're like, why? Because there were supposed to be tag teams and Brock turned on Cody. If you go down that route, and if Brock ends up being undisputed champion, then you would have a reason to run back Lesnar and Cena one last time, and Cena could win and ride off to the sunset with the belt in his hand like he always wanted to do. He wanted to ruin pro wrestling, right? He wanted to be the last real champion. I think if they want to go with that narrative, you got to have Brock win here. You got to give Cena some obstacle to overcome at the end, because right now it feels like a greatest hits. We're listening to a greatest hits album, and if they're great, fine hits, sure, but does it make a great story?
No.
Not so much.
You
got to have some strife, you got to have something to overcome, and if that person or thing to overcome, like you mentioned, the ghoul or the haunting of Brock Lesnar, which would be an awful Conjuring movie.
Oh man, I'm just picturing, you know, classic Conjuring type of scene where you like lift up your bed sheets and it's just Lesnar right there with his ripped jeans
in his purple face because he's just so sweaty.
The Conjuring of Brock Lesnar.
I'm gonna go with Brock Lesnar here because I think that's the narrative. I think that's the story.
Okay.
And that could be the shock play of, hey, this guy who's former MMA UFC champion, Brock Lesnar, you all know him, beat John Cena.
Yeah.
Hey,
remember UFC, the thing we used to have? You guys used to watch UFC here on ESPN. You guys know this guy. I totally get your logic. I do. I get your logic.
But yeah, so I'm going to pick Brock Lesnar just being devil's advocate.
All right. Well, folks, that is our WrestlePalooza predictions. Don't forget that both Sancho and I are going to be doing WrestlePalooza watch-alongs. Mine's going to be a bit hanky-panky, messed up, because I'm going to be in a hotel room. So if it doesn't work, if you plan on going to mine and internet's bad, go to Sancho's. If mine works, make sure you go to mine. All right, you got to go to mine. But do make sure you go or have both of ours up. Have both of ours
up. Be there live because our reactions probably won't be posted anywhere.
That's a great point. I will not be posting WrestlePalooza play-by-play reactions on Facebook or Instagram. So is what it is, man. It's the big moose. Ho-ho! All right, folks, thank you so much for watching and listening to this bonus episode of the Wrestling is Cool podcast. We'll see you guys later. Goodbye.
Toodles.
Ring the bell. That does it for this episode of Wrestling is Cool. Shout out to Santi and Sancho. Make sure you follow, like, and subscribe. My name is Mega Ran. I'm just here for the vibes. And never, ever forget that wrestling is cool.